today is found in the book of Genesis, 39th and the 40th chapter. We left off last week speaking to you about Joseph being in the house of Potiphar. And when he was in this house, we found that God blessed his house and blessed the field likewise that this man had. The blessing of God then rested upon the house of Potiphar because of the presence of Joseph, who was a gracious young man. God was with him in this house, and he was good-looking and well-favored, this man Joseph. And now it came to pass after a time that the mistress of his master, his wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said unto him, "Lie with me." But he refused to do so. He said that he had been treated so good by his master, and that he had set him over his whole house, and that there was none greater than him in that house, and the only thing that he had withheld from him was his wife. And then he stated that he would not do this because it was a great sin. "Shall I do this great wickedness," he says, "and sin against God?" And Joseph then was tempted by the devil through this woman to commit adultery. This woman, she likewise is a disgrace to her sex in pleading with a man like Joseph to commit adultery with her, where she was married and had a husband. Joseph, who was a gracious young man, was kept in this hour of temptation. We see in his answer to this woman what was an exercise in his very heart. He seen the goodness of God over him in this house, that God had blessed him and given him favor in the sight of his master, and likewise how good his master had been to him in giving unto him such a position as he had. Would he then sin against his master, who had been so good to him in this respect? And likewise, he seen likewise how good God had been to him in favoring him so, in giving him such a position as he had, and that the Lord was with him and was blessing him. And would he then sin against such a good God? We see then the goodness of God manifested in the heart of Joseph, and exercised thereby by looking upon sin as a wickedness, as a hateful thing. And he refused and would not lie with this woman. And this woman, she day by day tempted him to do this. We see in this woman how strong passions are, lust are, that she would not give in, that these passions and lust knew no bounds. How strong, my hearers, are these things even in us. If we had been in the place of Joseph as young men and had been tempted in this manner, how many of us would have stood? I am afraid if we had not the same graces and exercises in our souls, we as young men would surely fall. But God kept this young man in this respect. He was held up from doing this great sin. And this woman, day after day, tempting him. And he would not hearken to her. And he would not listen to what she said. And he fled from her. He wouldn't be near unto her. Now this is the way Joseph acted toward this woman. Oh, my hearers, adultery is an awful sin. It's a disgrace to whoever commits it. God, from the beginning of creation already, proved his hatred towards this sin. We find that Abraham went down into the land of Gerar, and Abimelech, the king, took his wife, Sarah. And God came to Abimelech and said to him, "Thou art a dead man, return of this woman unto the man's wife, to the man her husband, because she is his wife. And if thou refusest to do so, thou and all that are with thee shall certainly die. This was what God said. This is the way God revealed his hatred against his sin. And when we read in Exodus, in the commandment, we find God likewise speaking against those that commit adultery. And he likewise ordered Israel of old that if they were caught in the act of adultery, the man and the woman, the adulterer and the adulteress, were to be stoned to death. Even in the New Testament, Jesus speaks strongly against this very sin, my Hebrews. And how prevalent is this sin in the times in which we live? How many of mankind are living in this sin openly, daringly? They don't care about it. They even glory in it. How many of the various races of mankind that have come to this country, they have wives in the country that they left, and they have wives in this country, and they have children by them both. This is the way life is in many places today. A disgrace, my hearers. God can never give his approval upon it, and such people, if not brought to repentance, they most certainly will perish in their sins. But we have here an example in the Bible of Joseph, who was kept from this sin by the grace of God. That is all that we can attribute it to, not to Joseph. And my hearers, this woman was burning with lust and passions towards him. She would not give up. And finally, he came into the house one day to do his business, and she took hold of him. She grabbed him. Her passions knew no bounds anymore. She had to be satisfied in this respect. And when she took hold of him, why, he left his coat in her hands, and he fled outside. Thanks be to God that he gave him to do this, my hearers. He didn't want any part of her, and he was only too glad to get outside, that he was delivered from the temptation that he was under. And now this woman, she turned around and became an enemy to him. So this is what happens so often in life, my hearers. Oh, someday, desire and lust and passion after someone, and after they have fulfilled it, why, they would throw it away in anger. And now this woman, she enraged herself against Joseph, and she called the men that were not in the house at that time. When Joseph went in, she called them in and said, "He hath brought in a Hebrew to mock us, for he came to mock me, and I cried out, and when I cried with a loud voice, then he ran away, and he left his garment in my hand." In other words, she's a deliberate liar, telling a lie like this to these men. And she waited until her husband came home, and she told him this lie too. She continued to lie, just so that she could get back at Joseph. Joseph was innocent in this matter. And Joseph, he never said a word, I don't think, to Potiphar concerning his own wife. He was a goodly young man and well favored, and he wouldn't tell what this woman had been trying to do to him. He spared her in this respect, and he was put into prison by this Potiphar because he became enraged and was filled with wrath when his wife told him what this young man had attempted to do. This sin, this crime that he was accused of, could have been that he had been killed for it. But Potiphar put him into the prison. Potiphar was captain of the guard, captain over the guards that were set in the prisons. And now we find Joseph, because he wanted to keep his conscience clean, because of his chastity, he's cast into prison. Here then, this young man, he suffered something that he had not expected. He had been well favored in this house. He had prospered. The Lord was with him. And to all appearances, he was going ahead here. And in all probabilities, he had these dreams on his mind, where he was a prosperous man in the house of Potiphar, and going ahead, he thought, in due time, maybe God will fulfill these dreams that I've had. But now, he's cast into prison. He didn't have a friend in Egypt. He didn't have nobody to go to. He didn't have anybody to appeal to. And he only had a great and an almighty friend that was with him. Thanks be to Joseph, and thanks be to God that he favored this young man. For the Lord was with Joseph, even in the prison. It wasn't long that he was in prison, and he found favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. He probably explained to this keeper the reason why that he was in prison. And this keeper believed him, because he seen he was an industrious young man, and he'd done whatever he told him to do. He'd done it very faithfully and diligently. And therefore, this keeper of the prison committed everything into the hands of Joseph. Joseph then was given charge of all the prisoners, and he was to feed them, and he was to take care of them, and he was to order them to do things. And whatever he'd done, the keeper of the prison found him faithful in what he did. Joseph then was in prison. This crime that he had committed was a lifetime sentence in prison. What Joseph's thoughts were now concerning his dreams, concerning what would take place, we cannot explain. He probably inwardly was comforted by God, was given to know that God was with him, and outwardly he prospered even in the prison. But the promises that he had, the things that he had spoken to his brothers and to his father, and what God had revealed unto him, would they ever come to pass? This probably came up unto him many times. And we find, my hearers, that he is in this a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph, he likewise was beloved of his father, so was Jesus. And Jesus was cast likewise into the prison, namely the grave. This was the prison that Christ was cast into. This prison that Joseph was in is called a dungeon. What sort of a building it was, whether it was a hole in the ground, Scripture doesn't give us any design of it. But he called it himself a dungeon, and he was bound therein. And still, he had much more liberty than the other prisoners. But Jesus, he came forth out of this grave, the prison. And he rose up, and he appeared unto many, and he ascended up on high and was exalted to the right hand of God. So with Joseph now, he likewise is cast into prison. But the time will come when he likewise will be exalted. And Joseph is a type likewise of the children of God. And Joseph, he was loved by his father, and so is every child of God loved by that great God from all eternity. And Joseph, he was sold as a slave. So every one of God's dear children, when they fell in Adam, became slaves to sin, to the world, to the flesh, slaves of the devil. And likewise, they are in this condition. And it pleases God in due time to come to them and to reveal unto them their sinful condition. Joseph in the house of Potiphar, he prospered. He went ahead. And so when God first begins to work a grace in the heart of his children, then he comes and he sheds abroad his love in their hearts, and he comforts them and encourages them. They find so much liveliness in prayer, in reading the scriptures, and coming under the means of grace. They prosper under these things, and they soon mean that they will be in heaven. They have such a desire to be where God is. They long at times that God would take them. Even in the beginnings when this love is so strong in their souls and they're being drawn with the cords of his love. But there comes a time when God withholds the gracious operations of his spirit. And they quietly and silently and very slowly get themselves back again. And they find that sin revives. They find that they don't have those lively feelings anymore that they had at the beginning. They don't find any witnesses of the Spirit. They don't have access at the throne of grace, reading the scriptures. Oh, it's so dead and so lifeless, they see nothing in it. And coming up under the means of grace, they don't have any heart anymore to receive the truth. And they begin to wonder whether what they have experienced was true, or whether what God had spoken so many times to them in their hearts would ever take place. They find themselves in prison. I wonder how many prisoners I have listening to me. How many years have you been in prison? And oh, you long to be liberated, you long to be loosed. And you say to yourselves many times, maybe I deceived myself. Maybe it was all in my imagination. Maybe there was nothing of God in what I had. Oh, I fear sometimes hell is going to be the prison where I'm going to sink into. Have you such thoughts? Are you troubled in this way, my hearers? Any of you listening to me, do you feel you're in a prison? You can't deliver yourself? No matter how you pray, how you cry, it stays the same way. Sometimes the Lord opens a little window in the prison. You come under the means of grace sometimes, or you read the Bible, or you get down on your knees, and all of a sudden you find a little access, a little nearness, but soon it's gone again. You're in the same position again. Oh, you long to be brought out of prison. You long to be set free. You long to be given to believe in Jesus Christ to the saving of your souls. And how long will you be in this prison? And Joseph was in this prison. And now God made him even to prosper in prison. God does that with his people. Inwardly, they're in prison. They can't get anywheres with what they have experienced in the past. And still sometimes outwardly, God providentially blesses them. They go ahead. God blesses everything that they do providentially, but spiritually they remain in the same position. Joseph likewise was in this prison in this way. And here, my hearers, while he is in this prison, we have the remarkable providence of God over two men. The one was a butler, and the other was a baker, and they were with the king, with Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. They weren't just ordinary men, these men. They were the chief butler and the chief baker. The one was a wine pourer, and the other one, he baked the bread that Pharaoh ate. And now, these two men, they had done something that had made the king angry. And he cast them into the prison, the same prison where Joseph was in. There have been many thoughts what these two men had done to make the king angry and cast them into prison. No one knows. Only commentaries give you a little idea of what these men probably were guilty of. One says he let a fly in the wine. Another one says there was some sand in the bread. Others say they plotted together to kill this king, Pharaoh, and therefore they were cast into prison. Whatever they were guilty of, it was God that caused these two men to come into prison. It never would be in the Bible if it was not that Joseph was connected with this. Many people are cast into prison. And some innocently, never guilty of what they are accused of doing, Many have to grind in the prison for a long time before they are brought out. And then it's a proven fact that they are not guilty. We find that even in this story. The one, he was not guilty, and the other one, he lost his life. In this we have likewise two men lifted up in life, having good positions, being with the king. Men can be lifted up high in this life. They can have a very good position in life. And something comes up, some negligence on their part, something that they did wrong, and sometimes they're cast into prison, sometimes they even lose their life because of what they have done. It isn't always good to be lifted up high and have a high position. It's better to be like Joseph, even in prison, and have the grace of God in your soul. Now, these two men then were brought into this prison. And the captain of the guard, he charged Joseph with them. He told Joseph that he had to take care of them. In other words, Joseph had to serve them and wait upon them because they were two men that stood very close to the king. Some say the captain of the guard was Potiphar. You read so that he was the captain of the guard. Whether he was the captain of the guard over this prison or not, Scripture doesn't say, and neither does the commentary, but they surmise this, that probably this was even Potiphar, who was now reconciled to Joseph, believed Joseph that he was innocent, but because of his wife, dared not liberate Joseph. Same way with John the Baptist. Herod would have left John the Baptist go free, but his wife, as she had a grudge against him, and therefore he didn't dare leave him go. Now this is what the commentary brings in to compare Joseph with John the Baptist. But anyway, he had to wait on these two men. And they were confined in this prison for some time. And now one morning Joseph comes in, and he sees upon the faces, the countenances of these two men, that they are very sad. And he says unto them, "Why look ye so sadly today?" And they began to tell him that they had had a dream, both of them, the same night. And there was no interpreter to interpret their dream. A remarkable thing that they both had a dream the same night. And that there was no interpreter. If they had had this dream probably when they weren't in the prison, they would have resorted to those that made a profession of interpreting dreams. But now they had no means of getting to one that they could go to get an answer for the dreams that they had. These two men then were very troubled and very disturbed about what they had dreamed about, because it was to be seen on their countenances. "Why look ye so sadly today?" And they began to say that they didn't have an interpreter for their dreams. Joseph said unto them, "Doth not interpretations belong unto God? Tell me them, I pray you." Oh, my hearers, if I was to go through each and every one of you through these benches and look at your faces and see why you're sad and begin to question you and say, "Why look ye so sadly?" Oh, I think I would get so many different kinds of reasons and so many complaints. One would say, "Well, I don't feel well, I'm sickly, and I don't know what's going to happen to me." Another would say, "Well, I have a husband or a wife. They're very ill, and it doesn't look too well for us. How can I look glad?" There may be others that have children, sons, or daughters. They have been very disobedient. The parents have spoken to them. They probably up and left away from all religion, away from God. And the parent, when they have to suffer something like this, you can make up your mind they'll have a sad face. There isn't anything that's closer than your own children. But then again, my hearers, some may have said, well, I've had losses in business, I've had crosses, and I don't know what's going to come of my business. These things make people sad too. But I wonder how many would give me an answer similar to what I'm going to give you an explanation of. I wish that every one of us would give me an answer like this. Why look ye so sadly today? Not only just one day, but maybe for a long time already. And some would say, well, I'm such a sinner in the sight of God. I've sinned against him, and I don't know what to do about it. I've tried to make it good. I've tried to pray that he would keep me from sin, but I find sin so strong. It overpowers me continually, and I'm so sorry that I've sinned against such a good God. And therefore, my face is so sad. My countenance is so solemn. How many could give me an answer like this? Or are you one of those that are deeply distressed, that are looking so sad almost every day? Oh, I am sure if sin is your burden, if you have felt that you've sinned against God and that you see no way out, you've prayed, you've cried, you've begged, and just as we sing, no answer yet has brought relief. No relief inside. Distress cast down. Wondering where it will all end. Are you so? Then I would come to you with what Joseph said. What did Joseph say? Doth not interpretations belong unto God? Tell me them, I pray you. Let me bring this home to you, that this is what Jesus is saying to every sorrowful soul, every soul that's guilty, that's burdened with sin. Doth not interpretations belong to God? You can't interpret yourself. You don't know whether it's the grace of God in you or not. You can't put a truth that you have received and say, well, that truly was from God. You would like to have this explained. You would like to have this cleared up. You would like to have a witness brought home so powerfully and so clear for you that you could believe that the work that you have went through was of God. Doth not interpretations belong unto God? He says, tell me them, I pray you. Oh, let me say to you in the words of Jesus, oh, Jesus says to you, so, are you troubled? Are you burdened about yourself? Oh, come to me. Tell me about it. I pray you, bring it to me. I'll help you. I'll deliver you. Oh, he speaks so invitingly in his word. Come unto me, and I will not cast you out. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For thy countenance is comely, and thy voice is sweet. You believe that? A black sinner, a filthy sinner, a lost sinner, a guilty sinner, that he says, let me hear you. Let me see your face. It's sad, it's solemn, it's sorrowful, but oh, I love to hear you. You know why? Because it's his work in your heart. And therefore he speaks this way. He sees what's going on in you, and it's his work of love. And he invites you to come to himself. Oh, he is the great interpreter of his own work in the heart of a sinner. And when he begins to interpret and unfold it to you, then you receive light, and then you can believe that God is working in your heart. It may be only for a little while. It may be again taken away in darkness and down in the prison you go again. But this is the way God does. He works so wonderfully with Joseph. Joseph in this prison, oh, when would the time come that he would be liberated? And now everything was working for his exaltation, but he did not see it. It seemed as if everything was going against him again. And now these two men, they had dreams. The butler as well as the baker. And Joseph spake unto them, and said, Tell them unto me, I pray you, doth not interpretations belong to God? And the butler, he begins to tell Joseph his dream, that in his dream he seen a vine, and it had three branches, and the buds shot out on his branches, and blossoms came on them, and then they yielded ripe grapes. And he took these grapes and squeezed them in a cup, and he delivered this cup unto Pharaoh. This was his dream. And now Mark, if you read this, you don't read that Joseph said, well, give me a little time, and I'll find the interpretation of this dream for you, just like Daniel did. You remember the king had a dream, and he even forgot the dream. And he requested his magicians and astrologers to tell him the dream that he had when he didn't even remember it himself. This was very unreasonable of this king. But they called Daniel, and Daniel, he asked the king for time. And he went to his three friends and told his three friends about it, and they began to plead with God because it meant their life, and God revealed it to them. But not with Joseph. This man told Joseph his dream, and immediately Joseph had the interpretation thereof, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, a great interpreter, my hearers. He must have been given it instantly. God does this many times. He does that with his servants when they're preaching the word. Instantly, he enlightens them into some truth that they're speaking about that they never saw before in it. Interpretations belong to God. You know it's a blessing when you're speaking and God interprets the word for you and unfolds it for you while you would want to go on speaking. It's a simple matter. But when you have to interpret it with your own little mind, you soon want to give up. You soon want to lay the work down. And now Joseph, he's interpreting this dream for this butler. And he says to him, the three branches are 3 days. And within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up thine head and give thee back thy butlership and restore thee back into the same position that thou had before thou wast in prison. What a wonderful interpretation this must have been for this man, the butler. Whether he believed Joseph or not is a question too. For to have any comfort of something, we must believe. He told him what was going to take place 3 days hence. If he believed, oh, just think what it meant for this man. He would be brought out of prison. He would be back in the palace of the king. He would be serving him again. My hearers, Joseph, he had hopes. Because now he interpreted this dream, he says unto this butler, he says, and when you're reinstated, think of me. Because I was stolen away from my home in the land of the Hebrews. And I've been cast into this prison, and not because I am guilty. They have no reason to place me in this prison. And now when you get back, speak unto Pharaoh unto me, that I may be brought out of this prison. This was logical. He was showing kindness to this butler in interpreting his dream. And wouldn't this butler then, when he was restored, show him the same kindness and remember him? Joseph had high hopes that this would be the way.